jump up, let's get crazy. Jump up, let's get crazy. Let's get crazy. Welcome to the Round 21 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name's Marcus, and I'm joined this week by FB Donkey.
G'day, mate. Good to be back.
3 weeks to go. Did you have a successful first round of the Supercoach Finals, mate?
No. Luckily, made the draft grand final this year for our Veterans Draft League, which is a massive accomplishment. Very, very competitive league. I think I finished top of the ladder a couple of times, but never actually made the grand final, but got destroyed by Hellbent, so shout out to him. And I'm pretty sure I lost every single one of my finals in Supercoach. I'm pretty sure.
Wow. That's rough. That's rough. All right. We'll keep the update short and tight then. I scored 22.85 for the week. I moved down about 2,000 spots to just inside the top 1,000.
10,000.
Sorry, 10,000. Yeah, thanks, Mike. Many reasons for that, probably underscored by my fresh recruit, Josh Kennedy, who was coming off the bench to cover for Jeremy Cameron. Upside, I still have Cameron, and it doesn't look like it's going to be a long-term injury. He's even a chance for this week. Bad news, Josh Kennedy was terrible, and I would have been way better off trading him out. So, God, the thing's not breaking my way this year, Mark. Do you want to go into your score at all?
Yeah, sure. So it's got better than you, which is all right. 24.09, I dropped about 1,000.
Oh, jeez.
I dropped about 1,000 places in the rankings with that, which doesn't seem like that much for my position out at about 13K. And I don't even really know who to blame, like Harris Andrews, Jaden Short, Rocky. I ended up playing Setterfield and keeping Cameron. Everyone else scored over 100, so I think I just missed some of the higher scorers and had Grundy as captain.
All right, let's go to a quick group update to some happier news, the people who are doing well. And I think the good part is there's still people out there in our community who are doing really quite well, so we'll cheer for them. Show's Jib Rangers is into 37th at the moment, and he is leading our overall Supercoach coach group. Yeah, well done to Jibba. And
is he? In terms of awesome.
In terms of our Patreon group, the leader of that is still Seb's team, Geordie Demolition. He's hung on for another week, so 2 weeks at the top now for Seb. There's a few breathing down on his neck, so it'll be interesting to see how that finishes up. And the top scorer for this week was Daniela's team, the Magnum Maulers, who scored 27.05, which is friggin' massive. And Daniela was actually ranked at about 22,000 before this round. So it's an absolutely massive round and a bit of a silver lining, because that means she's now our front runner for the $100 top scoring round for our Patreon group. That was formerly Aiden's team when he scored 26.82 in round 17. But we officially have a new leader and we've broken the 2,700 barrier. So congratulations to Daniela, and hopefully you can keep on to that lead for the remainder of the season. All right, Mark, let's go into some questions now. We didn't get a heap, so this will be a fairly short show, as I'm sure the two of us probably won't mind too much. And this first one's from @Trouder87 from Twitter, and he's asking about what to do with Jeremy Cameron. So I mentioned it briefly before. I think on Saturday or on Sunday, they were saying that Cameron's out with tightness. It's not a serious strain, and that he was potentially going to come back against the Hawks. Friday night doesn't help. They're playing the first game of the round, which is a little bit annoying. But I haven't read news to the contrary as of yet. Mark, have you heard anything?
I have not, mate, and I still have him. So I don't know. Do I want him to be back or do I want to play Setterfield? They seem to score about the same.
Well, they updated the injury list today, GWS, and Cameron is still listed as a test, which is probably all not that surprising considering he was always going to be a bit tight to make Friday's game. So we will watch with keen interest. Obviously, if you've held him, you're hoping he comes back in and you don't have to trade him. Yeah. If he's out for another round, though, Mark, in the scheme of things, you assume he's back next week. You still have him for two more rounds, but then with three rounds to go, that's 33% of games that he's missing. Is that enough to trade him out?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it depends on a few things, one being how many trades you've got left. So if you have one or two trades left, then it becomes a bit more of a question. If you've got more than two, I think easy out. And it also depends on who you can get him to. So can you get him to someone that is really enticing to bring in and you think is going to score really well? Or are you just getting him to someone not that awesome? If you can bring in someone great, like something like Toby Green last week or similar, then you'd be pretty happy with that.
Now, last couple of weeks, we've been talking about having one trade left per two rounds on the run home. Now, last week, that was an easier equation. We were still recommending a buffer of two with three rounds to go, one if you were really forced to. This week, Mark, the logic goes two rounds left after this trade period, you can have one trade left. Would you potentially consider a double trade if you had three trades in bank to upgrade, let's say, Jeremy Cameron, holding only one trade for two rounds remaining?
I guess it depends a little bit on what your goals are for the season. If you are in a must-win final this week, then it's probably more likely to be willing to make that gamble. It also depends on your bench a little bit and how much you can cover there. Otherwise, I guess you'd be hoping for carnage and just try and save that extra trade and hope that it's in more use later.
There will be a few players put to pasture over the next couple of rounds, you would think. And the fact that there's so many teams, I think up to 13th, still a small chance of making the finals doesn't necessarily help that. But I think we've already seen a few players sort of been put to pasture so far, and a few late season injuries as well, which is a little bit interesting. One player that's TBC on the injury list today, who you may consider trading as well, is Caleb Daniel, who I think he's still about there in terms of being a top six forward, which is pretty good for his first season up in those sorts of lights, but he's officially done some hamstring damage, at least enough to miss this week's clash against Essendon, which I know you'd be pretty happy there, Mark. He's obviously also then a chance to miss further weeks, but he's also you assume a decent chance to come back after a week out. Now, if you're talking one to two with 3 weeks left, that seems like potentially a pretty easy trade out, especially because Caleb Daniel's price point's a little bit more attractive. Would you agree with that, Mark?
Yeah, for sure.
So easy trade with that, as long as you have more than one trade?
I think that hamstring at this time of the season, you'd be pretty willing to just pull trigger on something like that.
Mm.
Probably not go down to zero trades, though, unless you've got no cover.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll move on to the next questions then, and now we're going to talk a little bit about luxury trades. And this first question is from Thomas Williamson on Facebook. He's got the four trades left, full premium team, and no injuries for the week. He's got the fingers crossed, though. If you've got Sicily or Rocky, do you consider bringing in a better scoring premium player? So, I mean, if you didn't trade this week, you'd have to double trade each of the next 2 weeks to use up the four trades. So I think you'd be pretty damn comfortable with executing even a double trade this week.
Yeah.
What do you reckon, Mark? Double trade to upgrade one of those two sound pretty good to you?
Yeah, it doesn't sound too bad. Sicily just has had a bit of a role change, it seems, and he's had one good game, I think, in about sort of a 10-week period. So does look like he's done. Rocky, really disappointing on the weekend. I mean, he's been okay lately, but then Port had a win and he didn't get many points out of it. So, both of them are below that really high level of scoring, below the sort of the top six to top eight on their lines. So I can definitely understand people trading them out. And they would be two of the weaker premiums in anyone's team. So, yep, I can totally understand someone targeting them.
I think maybe just something to consider with both those players is their opposition this week. And Hawthorn just so happens to be playing GWS and Gold Coast this and next week. And funnily enough, they are the two teams that give up the most points to Supercoach defenders. So it's something to keep in mind that he has potentially a decent chance of doing well. And I think his role change has meant potentially more defensive stuff, but it's not like he's spending all that time up in the forward line as he was a few weeks ago. So there's potentially a little bit to consider there. And then Rocky playing Sydney. I think Sydney are the team that give up the most points to Supercoach midfielders. So potentially another consideration for holding each of those two players. I mean, principally though, like I, I think you'd easily be able to find players that would outscore them. But those two players specifically, if you wanted to hold on an extra week, you may be able to. I've got plenty of underperforming players I could get rid of outside of those two. So hopefully really? You do yourself, like, Thomas.
Like more underperforming than Rocky and Sisley? Because they are pretty, like, they're kind of the lowest type of premium you could really be carrying in your team. I mean, I do actually have worse than that. I've got Jeremy Cameron and Harris Andrews, but Rocky and Sisley on their lines, it's pretty low over the last sort of 10-week period. If you had to ditch one of them, who would it be?
If I had to ditch one of them, I would ditch Rocky. I think the points gain that you get in the midfield compared to the back line, I'd be more sure of, because you're bringing in an elite mid instead of an elite defender. How about you?
But, no, I agree with that. I think that the Gold Coast game just offers up something that might go pretty crazy for Sicily.
Mm.
Interesting. All just right. On Harris Andrews, while we're talking about him, 118 and 131, the 2 weeks before I brought him in, has scored above 80 twice since then. Missed around through suspension, high score of 91. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's quite grim. All right, next question. This one is from Jason Barotti on Facebook. He's got Sloan and Mooch, and he's wondering which should he keep. Should he keep both, or should he take one out and shoot him and replace him for a much better premium? Matt Crouch finally had a decent game with a 118 after struggling for an extended period. I think he had 3 weeks where he hadn't hit the ton, which was very frustrating. Rory Sloan continues a patch of mediocrity, scoring 88 to punctuate the odd 100 here or there. I think 3 of his last 5 have been under the ton. What do you reckon, mate? Would you trade either of these two blokes, keeping in mind West Coast Bulldogs Collingwood coming up?
Not a great draw, is it? So I think that you'd be pretty tempted to get rid of one of them. I have Matt Crouch, and he's almost been season ruining, keeping Matt Crouch for the whole season, averaging just 101 at that and missing a bunch of games through the middle of the year through a really important stretch. He's been absolutely awful. So probably a bit biased there that I think that I'd probably ditch Matt Crouch just because Sloan has that higher scoring ceiling. And at this stage, you're not really looking, and depending on your goals, but you're not really looking for someone that's going to plod along at 100 to 110. You really want someone that can average 130 over 3 weeks, and Sloan's definitely the one out of those two that is more likely to do that.
I would agree with that. I'd say in any case, if both of those to do poorly, they're averaging, you know, close to 100 for a patch. So I don't see either of them sort of punishing you if you traded, let's say, Sloan out and Crouch happens to score, you know, 360s. I just don't see that happening. They're consistent enough that they're not setting the world on fire, but they're not going to kill you if you don't trade them out like a key position forward might if you get them for the wrong week.
Josh Kennedy, yeah, sort of thing.
Thanks, mate. I was hoping you weren't going to go there. the upside's the right way to look at it, and Sloan certainly has shown already this year that his upside is better in patches, so I agree with that, Mark. All right, next question, and this one's about a trade-in candidate or candidates, and the question's from Gabriel King, and she's asking about Zach Williams or Basha Hooley. So I'm happy to say Williams, we locked as a community pretty firmly on, and he's panned out very well. One of our few absolute smashing wins for the year, mate. He's currently scoring very well. I'm also getting a bit of time running through the middle with some GWS midfielders injured. Josh Kelly looks more and more likely that he's going to return. What do you reckon, mate? Does that factor into Williams v. Hooley?
I think that Williams is the obvious selection, even just as a defender, personally. And part of that is that I was a little bit worried at the start of the year that he might not get enough midfield time to really get that average up. And realistically, he's averaging still only 101, 102. So it hasn't really blown things out of the park. But just so he just sort of needs a couple of big games to get that average up. And I think that my preference would definitely be Williams. He's a little bit less injury prone than Hooley as well, because I know that Hooley has been in doubt a few times this season and just got up. I know that he's put together some really, really good scores this season, and we're probably being a little bit too dismissive of Hooley, especially given Richmond's current form. But just age profile, injury profile, plus scoring, I think Williams just gets the nod pretty much in all three.
Another thing to keep in mind, GWS play Hawthorn, Bulldogs, and Gold Coast, which is actually a pretty good run, whereas Richmond, they've got Carlton, West Coast, and Brisbane Lions. And actually, West Coast and Brisbane Lions are two of the three worst sides in terms of points conceded to opposition defenders. So that's potentially another reason why you might go with Zachy Williams in that case.
Yeah, that one's crazy.
All right, next, we're going to quickly just chat about a couple of rookies. I haven't really done analysis on them, but I thought I'd just flag them in case anybody needs a downgrade target for the week. We've got a couple of DPP cheaply priced options that you may consider. One is Connor Iden. He's a defensive forward, 117K, scored 33 on the weekend. So he's certainly not bringing him for his scoring potential, but the fact that he potentially could cover if you needed him. Plays for GWS, came in as a replacement for Jeremy Cameron, so might get another game if Cameron stays out for another week. And then there's Jason Carter, who's a defensive midfielder, 102,400, so absolutely basic priced, and that's a pretty good reason to potentially bring somebody like that in. He scored 45 against Geelong as a defensive midfielder. Yeah, those are probably a couple of the targets. It's not really a lot of debutants. I think there's Schumacher and there's Goddard, but they cost a bit more. So if you're looking for a playing player, it kind of makes sense to go with either of these two. Otherwise, you might consider just a floating donut if you don't need the cover as well.
Yeah, I don't think you'd be relying on any of the guys, any of the rookies that are coming in this late in the season. It's pretty unlikely that someone coming in this late is really going to go on and play every game and score really well, unless like a Marley and Pickett, which I don't expect him to do it, but that's the sort of player that could potentially have that positive impact. So yeah, you're just flipping coins really at this stage of the year. I know that a few of the guys you mentioned were late ins for their team or really late selections, so it just doesn't bode well for them.
All right, next question, and we're going to go to underrated, overrated for this one. And the question posed is from Ashley Galea from Facebook, and she's asking about Sean Higgins as a viable in this week. Had an injury and dropped a little bit in price. Scored 140 on the weekend to start a turnaround. Has Geelong, Port Adelaide, and Melbourne on the run home.
Higgins is an absolute gun. Probably depends a little bit on North winning, though. So I don't expect them to do a heap of. I think he's just below premium status. So I know he's very, very cheap, and I guess that if you're desperate, he is a cheap player that could go on a really big run in a short period. So just a fair bit of gamble, I guess. I guess he's the right price. You wouldn't pick him over the other gun mids, though.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. He is certainly a good player. We know he's a best and fairest, and even from his days at the Bulldogs, he was always a fantasy option, especially when he was named as a forward a little bit more. I think appropriately rated considering we're considering him, but as a midfielder that is not someone we expect to reliably score 105 plus. Higgins is certainly appropriately rated, but at that price point, could consider for a late in, especially if you're low on cash in the midfield. All right, a few captaincy options now, Mark, to wrap up the show. And there's a bit more to chat about this week because Grundy and Gawn playing each other in Saturday afternoon's game at the G at 1:45. So that changes our options up a little bit because obviously you can only take one of the two. And even their records against each other has not been very promising. So Grundy has not scored a ton against Melbourne in his last three games against them. Gawn has.
And he has two in total. In his entire career against Melbourne, he has 200s.
Gawn has scored 153 against Collingwood this year. but his prior two was 67 and 76. So the most I would use him for is a vice captain, and definitely out of the two, vice captain Gorn over Grundy. But I've got a couple more vice captain options potentially to consider outside of Gort. And one is a guy that's been omitted a bit from this segment just due to his poor form so far this year, and that's Clayton Oliver. He's my second option for the week. His last four against Collingwood, 107, 117, 127, and 114. So just ultra, ultra consistent. I think they tend to just let their midfield balls go at it. And Oliver gets plenty of opportunity to get plenty of clearances and contested possessions. And my top vice captaincy option for the week is Neil against Gold Coast. Played them in round six already this year and scored 142 in that earlier meeting. In terms of captaincy options, I've got three here that I've found. The third option, Cripps versus Richmond. Now, Cripps isn't in the best form at the moment, but his last three against Richmond, 134, 130, and earlier in round one of this year, 126. The next two, Bontempelli versus Essendon and McRae versus Essendon. So a couple of Bulldogs against Essendon. Both last week scored 150+. So obviously having massive finishes to the year. Bontempelli loves playing Essendon. His last four against them, 118, 102, 123, and 116. So if you're looking for, you know, a captaincy reliable option, that does sound pretty good. But my top option is actually McRae. And that's just because he's been the picture of consistency so far this year. And his last four against them, 136, 83, 100, and 131. They also play against Marvel. And I think in one of our earlier shows this year, Mark, you pointed out to me just how good McRae's is at Marvel Stadium. So that's another thing to consider there.
Loves it. Mm. Yeah, he's definitely coming home really strong at the end of the season, Jack McRae. Seems like a super reliable straight-up captaincy option. I wonder who Dylan Clark goes to this week, because he has been sort of clamping down on the gun mid from most teams. I'm not sure whether he would go with Bontempelli just because it's Bontempelli's dual sort of role, or whether he goes with McRae, which McRae hasn't really had to experience any tagging from what I can recall this year. So that would be quite interesting, and that would suck if you did choose him as captain. I've got to agree with your options, though. Lachie Neal against the Suns into McRae. I guess the tricky part for me is that I'll be there Saturday night cheering on the Bombers, and the Lions game will be finishing just before the Bombers game starts. There's a pretty tight sort of turnover time there, so I'd probably want to be locking Neil in about three-quarter time.
All right, Mark, that wraps up this week's show. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners before we sign off for the week?
Not really, mate. Just good luck in all your finals. Hopefully the Bombers can do a little bit better this week, and three more weeks to go. Hopefully extra shout out to Jibba, sitting in the top 40 at the moment, leading our group. Hopefully he kicks butt. Yeah, good luck.
Awesome. Thanks, Mark, for coming on for another show, and best of luck to our listeners for the last three rounds of the season. See ya.
See ya.
Don't want to get crazy. Don't want to get crazy. Don't want to get crazy.